say together, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The title of my message today is, "How should we celebrate Christmas?" We have not finished celebrating tonight. It is the final hour, and there is a time to show how we should celebrate Christmas. Walk down Orchard Road and take hold of 10 passers-by. Not one in five would be able to tell you what's the meaning of Christmas. Anyway, we thank God that Christianity in Singapore, that was 14% 10 years ago, has risen to 17%. That's why I say not one in five is able to tell you. And now we pray that in the next 10 years, Christianity in Singapore may grow to 25%. Thank God that the gospel is progressing in our city. But last night I was drawn by my wife to the Chinese program. About 10 or 12 young people were discussing what is Christmas. And they all have a very hazy idea. This is a time of merrymaking and goodwill to everyone, you know, and talk of peace. And then they say this is a time to make wishes. So somebody wished this and somebody wished that. Fortunately, there was one who said that Christmas is the birth of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. So there is some Christianity in Singapore. But by and large, they do not know. And Christmas, right away, is not Santa Claus, because Santa is displayed everywhere with his reindeer and jingle bells. There were two Teochew businessmen discussing the meaning of Christmas in the old rediffusion many, many years ago, and the two of them concluded that Christmas is the birthday of Santa Claus. And the question was, who is Santa Claus? And they concluded, he is the founder of all departmental stores. Because at these big stores, they always display a figure of Santa Claus. And so we know that this is wrong. But Christmas is a birthday of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I must tell it again because some of you may still not understand. And it came not by a flashlight and great power parachuting down from heaven, but it came purposely by the great salvation plan of God to be born into the manger by the Virgin Mary. And all the records of the virgin birth are clearly given of the angel Gabriel coming to tell Mary that she was chosen of God. And by the dream that Joseph had as he saw that his unmarried wife, fiancé, was heavy with child. And he thought of privately separating from her, but the angel told him, this is by the power of the Holy Spirit, whereby God will become man. Jesus Christ is the God-man. And he is the one who came to suffer from babyhood until manhood And as there is no one able to take away our sins, He is the only one, God-man, sinless, peerless, perfect, to die on the cross to pay for the penalty of our sins. Now it's a paradox that there are many sages and wise men of old, and they were seeking for the truth, they are seeking the way out of this sinful earth. The three that have dominated China most are Buddhism, Taoism, not Taoism, but Taoism, and Confucianism. And none of them ever said, I'm trying to save you. He said, I'm trying to get to the right way out of this sinful earth. They never claimed to be savior. But in after years, we have ignorantly made them into saviors. So if you join Buddhism, you will be saved through Buddhism. If you take on Taoism, you'll be saved by Taoism. And then they even make Confucianism, which is not a religion at all. So if you are following some of these religions, I'm not at all running them down. They have many good points. They are seeking, but they have not found the way. Christmas is not Santa Claus, nor the birthday of any human, sage, or religious leader. And then they have minor saviors. Our Chinese shops usually put up their own gods. Wan Gong, god of war. Wan Yin, goddess of mercy. That's from India. And they say, oh, they all did marvelous things so it can save us. But not at all. If you wait a little while, Guan Yu will be one of them. When he's such a great man, and then after 50 years or so, it will become another religion. But no. Jesus the Immaculate, the God-man. Without God, no one can save us. So we must first of all believe that Jesus is my God. I therefore recommend to you, I'm not running down any religion. They are good and trying their best, but they have not attained, because trying to build a ladder to heaven is impossible. But the ladder must come down from heaven, Jesus, God becoming man. Secondly, Christmas is not commercialism. No place is like Singapore, decorating Orchard Road, now spreading to many parts of the island. And 1 month before Christmas already, they begin to decorate for Christmas, many weeks before Christmas. And why are they so zealous? Not for any reason, but for themselves. They are aiming at their pocket to make it in such a way as to attract you to go in and buy the goods. So we are here to celebrate the birth of Christ, quite different from the world. We have only one motive. This morning, why do you come? And tonight, I come because of my Savior. How can I not go and worship Him on such a wonderful day? And I'm sure the Lord will bless me when I go and worship Him. Now, there are certain church leaders, because Christmas becomes so commercialized, that they say, oh, you must not celebrate Christmas because you are following the world. Therefore, we will not have any Christmas service at all. So there are little groups like that who even leave us to form their own church. And then they say, we are more holy. So when Christmas comes, we can just do this and sit at home and nothing else. But be peace. Our church, from the very beginning, 50 years ago, we took the positive attitude. Instead of commercialism, it is evangelism. If they are all broadcasting their good news to buy their goods, we all the more have the good news to broadcast. One who is immaculate, to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we have a service today and have a service tonight to broadcast the good news of salvation in one Savior alone appointed of God. And so, I advise pastors. I jovially said, I preached 50 Christmas messages through 50 years. Now I almost run out of any Christmas message to preach. No. If you don't know what to preach, preach Christ. Preach His birth. Why He has come for you. And so tonight I have an evangelistic message to elaborate on what I said just now. But you have a duty. Your part in evangelism is to bring your unsaved father and mother, uncles and aunts, your beloved, your fiancé, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your best friend. That is your duty, how to celebrate Christmas. You cannot come here selfishly to say, I come and enjoy, you know, singing of carols and to see friends. You have a duty, and those of us who are going to homes, old people's homes, the Lord surely bless you. You must go there to give them the gifts, and they surely will receive the gifts very happily, but you must tell them why, and the wonderfulness of the coming of the Savior, that if they trust in Him, they will not be afraid to die. So tell them the good news. And even the children's department, the Sunday school, must make it very clear at this moment to show our young people how they may be saved. It is a very easy thing to fall into by having the fundamental language of saved, being saved. And the young people will say, well, they say they are saved, then we must be saved. But if you ask them, how, do you know? They cannot tell. Christmas is not commercialism, but evangelism. And thirdly, Christmas is not a merry Christmas. They have the general usage of saying, Merry Christmas. We don't want to say Merry Christmas, we want to say Joyous Christmas. Merry Christmas means what? To have a big makan and get drunk. Now I pray that none of our members will get drunk, because I've also noticed some were drinking beer. Our members. Of course, I close one eye and pray for the best. Not a time to get merry and get drunk. The word merrymaking is in the Bible, Luke chapter 15. And there the Father said, let us come and kill a fatted calf, because my son who is dead is back, and let us make merry. Well, that is the blessing of earth. But we do not go and get drunk, but we do eat a meal. Christmas is a time for celebration, joyous celebration. So in celebration, we do have some big makan. But and it's all right, the Lord bless us. But one thing the Lord said, when you make a feast, do not call your rich friends and relatives and those who are able to recompense you to invite you back, but remember rather to bring into your feast the blind, the halt, the lame, the poor, and you will be rewarded in the resurrection. And so, in our Christmas offerings, every year, your many offerings come in, a good portion is given to the poor and sick members of our church. We do it on your behalf, because that is what the Lord Jesus Christ says, that we remember the sick and the poor and the needy while we are enjoying. And this is a very important principle. Those of us who are well-to-do must always think of the poor. Remember the poor, Galatians chapter 2, by way of illustration. When you go out on a vacation and you sit in the hotel, remember that they have spread it out for you and they are very lowly paid. Always leave behind something. And they will be ever so glad. They will talk about you. But many hotels, we question these people. And sometimes they mention a certain nation. Their nationals are the most stingy and the most demanding and wanting everything to be the cleanest, but they leave nothing behind. It's a good practice for a Christian to think of the poor and give them something, a little tip. And so I learned it in the Holy Land trip. When I take the people there, and of course they spend our money there. We eat and they pay them. But we find that business is hard. And now the travel agent will include, you please give a gift, a little tip, a tip, even to the restaurant. And when they tip them a little more, they line up the whole at the doorway to say, God bless you. You get a blessing from them. But they tip them a little bit, they don't care about you. This is a very good practice. When you eat and enjoy, think of the poor. Think of the needy. And we will spend a part of the offering for the sick and the needy in our midst. The last one, fourth point. Christmas is also a time of giving gifts one to another. In time of rejoicing, we give gifts to one another. And that's a practice. That's very good. But remember, Christmas is a time not only of giving to one another, to our loved ones. Christmas is a time that you give yourself back to God. It's a time of consecration. You give to another, but you forget God. And so, this brings us to the last point. Christmas is particularly worship. Why it is so powerful when we celebrate Christmas? Because it is mainly worship. All the carols that we sing are worship. Giving our homage, our obeisance, our love, our money to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not minding anything, but this I do for Jesus. And worship, says Saint Augustine, is the mother of all virtues. You may honor your parents, that's good. You may love your friends, it's good. But if you worship God, that is number one, the mother of all virtues. And worship consists of two things, praise and thanksgiving. Did you realize that when you come and worship the Lord and praise His name, all your troubles, all your burdens, all your sins are taken away when you come and bow before Him? You come to church with a heavy heart. This thing happened to me last night, and that thing had not solved, financial, whatever they may be. But somehow when you come before the Lord, He will take them away because you come to worship Him. Is that not your experience? Sunday you don't come to church and stay at home watching the TV. Or you go to Sentosa because a friend from Malaysia has come you will find that it's a greater emptiness. But if you lead your friend to come to church, he is happy and you are happy. That's a law. And secondly, Christmas is thanksgiving. Without thanksgiving, it's an empty worship. Exodus 23 verse 15 tells us, none shall appear before me empty, with empty hands. And so in the Christmas story is woven the visit of the wise men from the east, and they brought from afar, they prepared the gift, gold, frankincense and myrrh. Gold, we know, is the most precious metal, and that is the most precious is money. Frankincense and myrrh are products of the Middle East, and they are very expensive medicine. In Chinese terms, I might say a big ang pao, shark's fins and bird's nest. Shark's fins and bird's nest are very expensive. Only the rich can eat. And these were presented to the Lord Jesus Christ. These shepherds came and they went out broadcasting the good news and praising his name. But the wise men came and gave their gifts. That is a compliment and setting a pattern for us. So when we come at Christmas, we don't consider anything. I prepare this gift for my Savior. Of course, the church will have to administer it very carefully. The gifts that they gave to Jesus provided the expenses for the long journey that Joseph and Mary, as they took the child to flee into Egypt before the sword of Herod going to kill Jesus. Why should Jesus, at the very outset of his birth, suffer? This is his lesson to learn from the Father. So we bring a gift without any other consideration. This is for my Lord, and you worshipfully give it to him. God will bless you. But the greatest celebration of Christmas is whether you have received him into your heart. You have heard the good news, but you are not a Christian yet. Now, you believe. The greatest celebration is we have been backsliding. So at last we come back to church. We have been prodigal children, sons or daughters. We have neglected the Lord for a long time. And this Christmas I'm coming back. That is the greatest, because at every Christmas, God is promulgating once again his great amnesty offer. Amnesty means a great forgiveness, total forgiveness for a great number of people, like a king when his son gets married and he is going to be on the throne. So the old king, in order to celebrate the happy occasion, forgives even murderers. He has the power to forgive. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. He has given peace and goodwill to men. It's the offer of salvation and forgiveness of sins. Whether you are Christian or not, we are sinful. Have you come to receive that forgiveness? I hope that when we celebrate Christmas, it is not just on a happy occasion for ourselves, but meaningfully for the poor and in remembrance of our Lord, to give him our heart, to give him ourselves. Every Christmas is a determination, is a Christian's New Year, to start all of the new, to serve him with all heart. Let us pray. So Lord, may thou speak to our hearts that we may celebrate Christmas meaningfully according to thy holy word. In Jesus' name, Amen.